business heals all wounds. I mean, look at our relationship with Germany or Japan. Who can even remember what all the fuss was about?
Rick Tittle, you done broke my heart, but I still take you back. You hella fine.
Welcome back to Sports Byline USA, coast to coast, border to border, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network, 500 outlets, 177 countries. And as you know, we have comedians in here now and then, if they're at Cobb's or perhaps the Punchline. And we have a very special guest today. He'll be at Cobb's tonight only. Chris Kattan and friends, and I have Chris Kattan with me. And Chris, it's a big thrill because I'm a big fan of yours.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
Now, what is the and friends? What can people, what do they have in store tonight at Cobb's?
Friends, that's just parts of my body.
So your butt is your friend and your kneecap?
No, not the butt, not yet. We're not friends at all. I think and friends are actually other comedians. It's the term.
Can we say who they are? Or is it?
I actually don't know. So they're unannounced, but so, there are other comedians.
So is it a traditional thing where you're going to headline? There'll be like an opener and a feature.
Yes, but they're known.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not like as I said.
They're not personal
my body
friends.
Parts. Yeah, they're not. They're friends.
Well, but before SNL, and it's kind of fitting that you're wearing a Groundlings hat.
I know. I've never worn this hat before. It's an old hat.
But for people who don't know who the Groundlings are, they are.
It's a very popular improv group, comedy group in L.A., and a lot of, SNL folk came from there, Will mm-hmm. Ferrell and I and Sherry O'Terry and Kristen Wiig and Maya Rudolph
a lot of people.
Everyone in Bridesmaids. Conan O'Brien, Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah.
Kathy Griffin.
And your dad started it, or he was?
My dad was one of the beginners. Yeah, he was there back in the day of Paul Rubens coming up with Pee Wee Herman and Phil Hartman and John Lovitz. Yeah.
What's Paul Rubens like outside of the?
He's pretty normal. He's a very laid back guy. Very nice. Very very kind guy. It's funny because he did other characters there. He did an Indian character. That would probably be faux pas now, I think.
Yes, it would be a faux pas.
Yeah.
So how did you, all along, did you want to be like your dad, or did you, did he force you into it? Was it just a natural thing because you had his talent? And
I think, I don't think he forced me, which is good because it's not a healthy business. But I think he noticed that I definitely had, I had interest in being funny or whatever. Mm-hmm. I noticed that people got attention that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to be working for me early on. It wasn't, I wasn't, playing sports that often. I wasn't really picked to be on anyone's side that often. And
right.
I didn't, I don't know. I was known I did a lot of impressions of school teachers and stuff like that. I used to do a Rod Serling impression when I was like 9 years old, and I'd put my lip up and go, "You're in the Twilight Zone." And that was basically
for your consideration.
That was it. So that got me far.
Well, it's funny. The first time I ever saw you was on Saturday Night Live, and it was a Terry Hatcher was the host.
Yeah.
And you did a little.
That was a great.
A dance where you went to the couch and you go, "Wait, I need new music."
And that was my second episode ever, and that's like one of my favorite sketches.
Yeah, and I remember watching it, and I was thinking, God, this guy is hilarious.
That's
because,
so nice of you.
Yeah, the little dances and everything.
Yeah, and that was pre-Mango and pre-Roxbury and all that stuff, and that was just me dancing to a couch, and that was popular. It was kind of like, that was neat for me because that was my second show I ever did, and that was like in the lineup of the sketches. It was like the first or second sketch of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote it myself, so it was kind of cool to have that happen. It was, for me on SNL, I got a lot of, there was a lot of, I wasn't very popular at first because I kind of came in mid-season and I came in strong and people were like, who's this guy?
Oh.
And then people got cut. And,
I remember David Spade said, you never want to kill on SNL or they'll think you're a hack. Like, you can't be too good. What does that mean?
I don't think it was a hack, but I don't know what that means. Probably, you know, I don't know what that means.
I don't know. He says,
doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you can't be too good or everybody, I don't know.
You're a hack. Unless he means that you start, been there for a long time and you're killing, maybe.
Oh.
Then you repeat things, and then you look like maybe a hack by doing the same thing over and over again. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe that's what it is.
But not when you first start.
Speaking with Chris Kattan.
I wasn't a hack till later.
Well, when I've had SNL alums in here, I think it's just fascinating that you guys do an entire show in dress in front of an audience,
mm-hmm.
and then you kind of find out later, yeah, we're not going to do that.
Right.
That seems like incredibly taxing.
It could be a bummer because you prepare all week and you rehearse it and you write it too. If you write the sketch, you know, too, and you have some personal feelings behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And it, of course, if that's the only sketch you have for that week and it doesn't get in, it's kind of a bummer.
Right.
But there's always next week.
Well, speaking of, I mean, you mentioned Mango, but some other characters I love, like to me, Sewell Forrester.
Oh yeah, that was the gibberish guy.
Yeah, I still like say, "What is the capital?" <Of that?"> That whole thing. He did the drill sergeant. I mean,
the drill sergeant. Shiny shoes and blah blah blah. I said, "It's my day today, soldier." And people are like, "What?" I said, "Shiny blah blah blah." I said, "It's my day today, soldier." It's so dumb. But it was fun.
I remember that. It's funny because I remember when you were dressing those guys down, that was Fred Wolf was in line.
Yeah.
That day.
You seem to know a lot about SNL.
I'm a big fan. I'm older than you. I've been watching it my whole life. I want to say I'm not a creepy fan. But you're one of those guys, though, that when I heard you weren't coming back, we were all like, oh, no.
Oh, that's sweet.
Seriously, because, I mean, especially, it's hard to find that guy, you know, a Dana Carvey, a guy like, you know, a Will Ferrell, that guy, it's like, oh, he's not going to be on.
Yeah, that's cool. Very cool of you to say that. Yeah, I guess, from being a fan, when I was watching on SNL, of course, I felt it was a real bummer when Eddie Murphy didn't come back.
Sure.
But he was so huge, I guess. That was why I got on SNL, or what motivated me to see his performance, and that he was kind of detached while he was on it,
mm-hmm.
and it seemed like that's a way to win on that show or to survive. Because I thought, I bet you if I was on that show, I could do pretty well. I was confident that way, but I didn't know how to get on,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know how to survive. Those are the two things I had to figure out.
Interesting.
But I knew that I had the confidence of if I were to be next to someone else or audition, I think I'd do pretty well. I think I could hold my own. But again, I didn't know if I would last. When I came in, I had to prepare. So I was in the Groundlings, and it was almost as if I was getting ready for SNL in the back of my head. But that was years to come, even that possibility. So I was creating characters in the Groundlings in case I got on SNL. So when I got on SNL, I had a lot of characters that were already ready to go.
Yeah.
And it just happened to happen.
But that's a great path. That's kind of like the AAA to the majors. You know, you think about Second City and Groundlings and some of these other troops, that how you can get in. When you were at the Groundlings, was Ferrell with you there?
Well? We were freaking frack at that time.
How many times on Saturday Night Live did you guys kiss? It seemed like maybe five.
I don't know why. and it's not like we wrote the sketches. And he was much more into it than I was. Every time, like, he get the tongue in there, and I just like, no, God. And yet I do the Mango characters and all the drags.
Or Mr. Peebers, where you're going, like, poof.
Yeah, like, well, yeah, but I pick females. Like,
Katie
like Charlize
Holmes.
Theron I get to make out with, and Katie Holmes, like, awesome. And then I get stuck with a Will Ferrell sketch again. His tongue's in my throat. Gay Hitler and Neil Diamond was one. Oh, and then we did Air Supply.
Oh, that's
Air Supply
right.
Made out.
That's right, because you started singing, you really like.
Yeah, dress up in robes, hang out, see what we get to, something like that. It was a Thanksgiving song. It's Thanksgiving time.
That's right, all out of
Let's
love.
Let's hang out in robes, see what develops. Ooh, I think I dig your stuff.
We got more with Chris Kattan. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come on back on Sports Byline.